Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
Thanks. Let me call this to call this item up first real fast. So this is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider proposed order number R12010-0044, waste discharge requirements for discharges related to road management and maintenance activities conducted pursuant to the Green Diamond Resource Company Aquatic Habitat Conservation Plan in the North Coast Region. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath? You swear or affirm to tell the truth in this matter? Great. Thank you. This time, let's start the staff presentation.
Good morning. I'm Katie King, an environmental scientist with your staff, and I'm here to talk about the Green Diamond Roads WDR. I'll start with some background, and then I'll move into talking about the contents of the waste discharge requirements. As you know, excess sediment is a major problem in the North Coast region. 27 North Coast water bodies are listed for excess sediment. And most of the sediment TMDLs identify roads as a major source of sediment. Coho, Chinook, and Steelhead are especially sensitive to sediment impacts. And the current regulation is very fragmentary and limited to active timber harvest plants. This is a 1963 aerial photo from Mendocino County just to illustrate the problems with legacy logging impacts. These are roads. There's a mill down there in the corner, and these kinds of roads have caused problems underneath that are still on the landscape today as legacy sites. Of course, timber harvest operations have improved since those days. The project area covers approximately 400,000 acres that is covered by Green Diamond's Aquatic Habitat Conservation Plan in multiple watersheds. And these are active timberlands. And this is going to be covering just the road activities, not the other types of timber harvest activities. Included in the Aquatic Habitat Conservation Plan is a road management plan. And it has two parts to it. One part is a longer-term plan to move through the landscape and upgrade road systems. In that, they'll be decommissioning bad roads, roads that are located adjacent to creeks. they'll also be hydrologically disconnecting those roads. They'll be bringing them up to a modern engineering standard, keeping those whole systems at a low risk of sediment delivery. And the treatment priority for the different systems, of which there's around 30, is based on the probability of impacts to species covered by the Aquatic Habitat Conservation Plan. At the same time, as part of this road management plan is a plan to deal with more immediate risks on roads that haven't been upgraded yet under the long-term plan to identify active erosion sources and minimize those discharges and minimize chronic sediment sources. The treatment priority here is based on the likelihood of sediment delivery and the volume of sediment delivery. So the first part of the WDR is the sediment source inventory. And this is a giant database of sediment sources across the landscape. Sources will be added to this based on aerial photo analysis and identifying sources from maps, and more importantly, through routine inspections, which I'm going to talk about next. Some sources will not be included. Those are such as failing skid trail crossings and diversions inside harvest units. Those will continue to be inventoried and treated under the general WDR as part of the timber harvest plan process. Routine inspections. Mainline roads and roads appurtenant to THPs will be inspected every single year. Other roads, secondary roads, will be inspected on a three-year rotation, so once every 3 years at the most. Some sites on secondary roads will be identified as maybe something that doesn't need to be fixed this year, but something I don't want to wait 3 years to go and look at. So those will go onto the watch list, and those sites will be inspected every single year for changes, and they'll be treated if they need to be treated if they change. Another type of inspection is emergency inspection. So during or after big storms, they will go out and make sure things are not discharging. items from, so information from the routine inspections will be added back to the sediment source inventory, and that will be kept in that large database. And sites that are going to be treated will be put onto the annual work plan. So this is going to include sites from the long-term part of the plan for upgrading and decommissioning, but it's also going to include sites that are determined to be discharging now, regardless of where they're at. The annual work plan will have a lot of information. It's going to have location information for where the stream is, the type of road, if there's a timber harvest plan associated with it. There's GPS coordinates. There's expected delivery volumes and potential. And very importantly, there's a very clear description of current conditions and what the treatment will be. We're also going to see emergency maintenance situations. This is a slide of a landslide that happened last year that came down and impacted this bridge. And in these instances, we are not asking that Green Diamond wait until the annual work plan to treat these sites. They can go out and deal with safety issues and large sediment impacts and just go ahead and treat those sites and let us know within 14 days what they did there. Monitoring is an important part of any WDR. We have multiple types of monitoring for this. Post-treatment monitoring will happen immediately after the treatment at a site has been implemented to make sure it was implemented as designed. Additionally, after the site has gone through a winter, they're going to go out and have a look at it and make sure that it's in good condition. If there's minor maintenance issues that come up during those inspections, they can go ahead and treat it right then or they will treat them before the next winter. Minor maintenance issues are like culvert cleaning, refreshing water bars, refreshing critical dips. Occasionally, they may find major maintenance issues such as separated culverts, a diversion, or a large fill failure. Those sites will get put on the annual work plan again and then will be inspected again after another winter. And then, of course, reporting. Annual reports will be submitted every year summarizing the completed work from the annual work plan and summarizing all those monitoring results from all the inspections. Any sites that were left untreated will be included with an explanation and a revised schedule for treatment. Also, we will get post-winter reports, post-winter inspection reports in July, August, September, and October. So as any major maintenance issues are found at anything that they're inspecting post-winter, they'll let us know about that right away, and we'll have the option to go out and have a look at those sites. In conclusion, the WDR will provide active management of over 2,000 miles of logging roads across over 400,000 acres, and it will comprehensively address excess sediment sources, and it will achieve compliance with sediment and temperature TMDLs for the road-related activities that this WDR covers. It's going to implement tasks from the sediment work plan, and it enforces the temperature objective from the basin plan. This WDR provides greater regulatory efficiency because it doesn't rely on the fragmented THP process where there's whole areas of roads that are, say, 25 years old that aren't going to be looked at because they're not, that area is not being actively harvested. And it will reduce staff time reviewing erosion control plans from all those individual THPs. We can rely on the road management plan to treat all of those sites. And that concludes my presentation, if you have any questions.
Thank you. Do we have board member questions? Okay. Thank you. Does anybody from Green Diamond wish to come up and say anything? Mr. Rainierson or Mr. House?
Mr. Chair, I'm members of the board, Gary Rainierson, Green Diamond Resource Company. I would like to thank staff for working on this, Katie and Matt House, who's also with me today. They did the heavy lifting on this, and I'd really like to thank both of them. This is a great example of taking property-wide permits and using them to effectively manage over the landscape. And rather than do this in a piecemeal approach that Katie described through the timber harvest plan process, this is a great example of looking at things on a basin-by-basin and then our entire landscape basis to address these issues. The purpose of this particular WDR is to allow us to work outside of the timber harvesting plan area. Right now, the GWDR and the permitting process through DF&G for the 1,600 permits for the watercourse crossings relies entirely on the timber harvesting plan. So in order to operate outside of the boundaries of that timber harvesting plan or off of that appurtenant road, a separate permit's required. And as Katie accurately described, we have areas that are right now supporting 10 to 20 to 30-year-old stands of timber that we won't be operating in for several years. However, they have roads that need to be treated. Our HCP, our aquatic plan, is set up through a prioritization basis. We go to the first places where we can do the best for fish first and treat those places where that treatment will result in the best habitat improvement and prevention of sediment release into those drainages. Some of those drainages have younger timber in order for us then to operate in those and go treat those areas and upgrade those road systems. We then need the WDR and the 1600 permits that we just also obtained from DF&G. So this is the last step in that process. We obtained last week, or I guess it was last week, the programmatic 1600 for our property. Of course, the first step was the habitat conservation plan that Matt also was instrumental in putting together, and it's his job to implement that. And we also obtained from the Department of Fish and Game a consistency determination for incidental take for coho. So this is a series of the permitting process to allow us to continue to improve legacy issues and upgrade the road system and make it better for water quality and better for fish.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. I have a speaker card. Felice.
Good morning. My name is Felice Pace, and I'm here on behalf of the Environmental Protection Information Center. We thank the board for the opportunity, and I have copies for everyone who needs them. But I'm going to read the statement, which you're going to have a copy of. We thank the board for the opportunity to comment on the proposed order. As this board has noted, sediment and excessively high temperature are major impairments in most forested watersheds within the region. Research and experience both clearly indicate that sediment resulting from native surface and gravel roads and from landslides associated with those roads is the major source of sediment. Such sediment clearly impairs beneficial uses, including salmonid production and feeding, and falls under the legal definition of nuisance. Water quality standards cannot be achieved and beneficial uses cannot be restored unless the production and delivery of sediment from and associated with unpaved forest roads is effectively addressed. Research also tells us that in terms of effect on stream temperature, shade over streams is the most significant anthropogenic factor, and that stream shade is more important the higher up in the system the stream is located. In terms of our forested watersheds, shades on the smallest Class 3 streams is critically important in securing and restoring the cold flows that salmonids require. Water quality standards cannot be achieved and beneficial uses cannot be restored unless we restore and maintain multi-leveled canopy cover over headwater streams. This will require, among other things, that timber companies stop clear-cutting small headwater streams. Because road-related sediment and shade-related temperatures are critical impairments, the order must be judged on whether it adequately addresses these two issues. Under CEQA, a finding of adequacy must be supported by analysis utilizing the best available methods to determine whether, how, and to what extent the proposed order will lead to attainment of water quality objectives and recovery of beneficial uses. A forest and logging road management order adopted without such analysis could be vulnerable to legal challenge. The proposed order is tied to the aquatic HCP, which Green Diamond Resources has developed and utilizes the environmental review completed by the Department of Fish and Game. Neither the AHCP environmental analysis nor the CDFG environmental documents include analysis demonstrating that road management as proposed by Green Diamond and memorialized in draft order will be effective in removing the impairments. meeting water quality standards, and recovering beneficial uses. For this reason, the proposed order appears to violate CEQA, the Clean Water Act, Port of Cologne, and the Basin Plan. In addition, the proposed order fails to comply with state and basin plan anti-degradation policies. These require regional water boards to assure that the highest quality and beneficial uses of state waters are maintained and, where necessary, restored.
Alicia, can I interrupt you, please?
Yes, sir.
Are you planning to read all 6 pages of this?
Well, yes, I am.
Okay. Maybe you could just kind of bullet out some salient points here. We'll like to keep the public comment period just
well, you
a,
know,
little, comment period a little short.
We didn't have this ahead of time to review, so okay.
Yes?
Samantha Olson, your legal counsel. I would also ask that you ask why the comments were not submitted in the CEQA time period. If indeed they are CEQA comments, we'd like that support.
We were not aware, or nor were we, to my knowledge, informed that there was a CEQA review going on for this board. So, I put this together for them as a volunteer. I'm down here as a volunteer. And we regret, and I told the executive officer that we regret not getting this done in time to provide it. But this is a serious issue. We're talking about 2,000 miles of road. We're talking about building new roads through earth flow terrain, landslide terrain, and you haven't heard about this. So
actually, we have. We've had presentations from Green Diamond on at least one meeting previous to this for how this road management plan dovetails.
Okay.
In with
well,
their
I will summarize. Please. I will summarize the. I'll skip down to the salient points.
Thank you.
The crux of the water quality issues associated with the AHCP is the failure of the AHCP and related analysis to calculate, disclose, first, the rate of disturbance that will occur on a watershed-by-watershed basis, and second, whether that level of disturbance will allow the natural recovery of the watershed and its beneficial uses, or will cancel out or even overcome both natural recovery and the restoration actions. As specifically related to roads, neither the AHCP nor any other environmental documents contains that analysis. And EPIC believes that while the AHCP has many good features, and I want to acknowledge that this is the first one, and it's the first one of this type, so it's really important that we get this right. And I think it is fixable, but I think it's got some very salient issues. I want to give you a few examples drawn from the AHCP that illustrate the problem. Here's one. Green Diamond will apply the routine road maintenance and inspection plan measures on such roads only where Green Diamond has exclusive road use rights. Where Green Diamond does not have exclusive road use rights in a harvest right area, Green Diamond will conduct road maintenance and inspection activities in accordance with existing FPRs and Green Diamond's management plans and policies. Green Diamond will not apply the remainder of the measures in Section 6.2 to these roads, and the acreage of such roads will not be taken into account for purposes of accelerated road implementation plan. And by the way, I want to make sure you understand that we are not criticizing the remediation of the sites, the scheduling and the remediation of the sites. But there's two parts of this, and your presentation didn't deal with that. And the other part is, okay, what kind of roads are going to be built? Where are they going to be built? And if we create more sites at the same time that we're remediating other sites, we're not going to get to restoration. So here's another one. Green Diamond's new road construction will avoid field-verified headwall swales where feasible. This is like the forest practice rules, where you have words like where feasible added, and that judgment is made on the ground. I would maintain that they're always going to be feasible when they get to a timber stand that they want to cut. Green Diamond will not construct new roads across active deep-seated landslide toes or scarps, or on steep, greater than 50% gradient areas of dormant slides without approval by a PG and an RPF. These will be people that will be working for them, And I would argue that that's, you know, the appearance of a provision without really having a provision on the ground. They will tend to always find that these roads should be built across these earth flows. By the way,
I'll take issue with that being a PG myself. And
well, you're not a PG that works for Green Diamond, are you?
Not currently.
You wouldn't be sitting there, I don't think. Green Diamond will not conduct road upgrades during the winter operating period, except as stated in 6.2.3.4.2 and 6.2.3.4.3. You know, exceptions big enough to operate in the winter on. Green Diamond will not construct new roads within RMZs, those are streamside zones, with the exception of watercourse crossings or spur roads off of existing roads within RMZs, which would be designed to extend outside the RMZ. Just as is the case with the forest practice rules, these extensive caveats placed on good practices make it possible for GDR to avoid moving towards a road system that is responsible, one that does not contribute nuisance sediment and turbidity. What's the road density out there on a watershed basis? Where are the new roads that they want to construct that this road management plan allows? And is that system compliant? Will that render us compliance with the water quality standards? I don't see anywhere in any of these environmental documents any analysis that indicates that. Now we have.
Leach, I'd like to ask you to wrap up at this point. I appreciate the work that you've put into this. You did sort of pick up right on page 2, and we're working into page 3 right now for your salient points. So if you could just conclude, I'll give you a couple more minutes to conclude, like 2 minutes, please.
Well, we have one of the good things in the AHCP, also reflected in the WDRs, is the requirement for annual inspection of roads to identify and prioritize sediment delivery. However, the AHCP states that this will occur at the end of the operating season, at the end of September, and I quote the relevant section, whereas your proposed order says it will happen at the end of the wet season. Thus, GDR is proposing annual inspection and problem identification at the end of the dry period. We do have two specific recommendations for changing the proposed order. On emergency inspections, there is no what it says now is emergency inspections will occur during or immediately after storm events which produce 3 inches of precipitation in a 24-hour period. We recommend that 3 inches in a 24-hour period, 5 inches in a 48-hour period, or 6 inches in a 72-hour period, because our storm events, the big ones, are generally multi-days. And this does not recognize that. So, you know, on regular inspections, we have a specific proposal for regular inspections. And, you know, that would tighten it up so that there was regular reporting and so forth and so on. So we would ask you, I've made the meetings when they're up north, and I don't think I made a meeting where we had this presentation. I guess they happened down here that you're referring to. That's a 4 or 5 hour drive for us. So we would ask the board to defer this because we think that it can be tightened up. We think that there are certain findings that need to be that the staff needs to make, and we would like you to consider our recommendations and to let us know if you don't accept them, why you don't accept them.
Thank you. And again, I'll repeat that we appreciate the work that you put into these reviews, but it displeases us to get such technical details so late in the game here. There has been opportunities well in advance of this meeting to have gone through and pointed these out. Given that, you know, we appreciate
this is a public hearing, though.
It is, and we appreciate your summary on that. And so with that, I'd like to thank you for that and excuse you and ask staff to come back up and have any other points that if they wish to address to what you said. And I see Kat flagging me here.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, staff would request that we hold this item for a moment for take Willits and let staff go take, read what we've gotten, see what we want to do and make her come back and make a recommendation maybe after we've heard Healdsburg.
Okay. That'd be fine.
We doing okay? Do we need a break? You okay, Mike? Need a break? Are you okay?
Okay. All right. We'll move on to Willits then. Second item two.
There may be other people I think that were interested. Let me.
Well, I'll go get them.
Okay, great. We can. Why don't we take 5 minutes and get prepared for that? Okay. We're back to pick up where we left off with item two.
Yes.
Katie, if you will please refresh us on what we've done so far and where we're at.
Well, we had a presentation and we had comments from Felice Pace, and I'm here to address his comments.
Great. Thank you.
So, my first point is that Mr. Pace was on our mailing list and our email list and our automated listserv, so he was properly noticed. And also, Epic was also included on the email notification list, and they had a copy of the entire CEQA package on their blog website since April. One of Mr. Pace's concerns was new road construction. New road construction is not covered by this WDR. That generally requires harvesting trees, and so a timber harvesting plan is required for those, and so we will review those projects under timber harvest plans, and that will get coverage under the general WDRs. Another concern that Mr. Pace raised was the inspection and reporting timing, and we have inspection and reporting under the WDR as an ongoing program overseen by Regional Water Board staff in the long term, and there will be ample opportunity for adaptive management if we find that some things aren't working or if there's BMPs that we would like to see different or if we'd like to see other types of notifications and reporting. Finally, Mr. Pace raised the issue of compliance with the anti-degradation policy, and it's important to note that this order will result in better management of roads and greater sediment reduction across the covered lands through inventory and treatment of sediment sources. And we think that this is an improvement over what's happening currently.
Thank
you. I'll just add, Mr. Chairman, this is Samantha Olson, your staff counsel. The properly noticing contained a cutoff date for comments, and therefore it's staff's recommendation to not accept these written comments at this time. It's just simply too late. Comments were due by May 12th, so that's it's at your discretion, but that's our recommendation.
Thank you. I think I expressed that in my comments back this morning. So we have had our staff presentation. Do we have any additional board member comments or questions? Okay, so since we've had our staff presentation, our discharger presentation, our public comment period has passed, then I will seek board action on this item.
Mr. Chair, I would give you a motion to accept the waste discharge requirements order R12100044.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, we're